You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Just to be clear, all the loot we get from this is mine.
And Daryl.
I need it for, hunter reasons.
Greetings and welcome to episode 176 of The Training Dummies, recorded on October 17th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and I am being harassed by technical gremlins, we'll call them. But the show must go on, so go on it will. Rob is with me as always. Rob, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, doing great, man. Thank you for asking. It's almost time. I almost have real proper internet.
So awesome. Tomorrow morning. That is good to hear.
Once that happens, we'll see about getting everything ramped up here for Training Dummies 3.0.
Yes, I'm excited for that. I really am. But before we get to that, we do have a guest tonight, and we are going to continue on with our Stay Classy series. This is class number, is it six or seven? Six, I think. Class number six. So let's give a big Training Dummies welcome to Alessander.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm glad to be here.
We have kind of canned the old speed dating round, and we've gone a little more with just something casual. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background with gaming, Blizzard, Warcraft, kind of where you're plugged into the community?
Mostly I'm found on the Hunting Party podcast and the email in section of about 40 different podcasts related to Blizzard for the most part. Off and on a fairly weekly basis. I do a lot of writing in with lore questions, lore comments, thoughts on Blizzard, my thoughts on Blizzard Con, and just all kinds of things. I've been playing since I left EverQuest a very long time ago.
And, wow, I haven't heard EverQuest in forever.
Nice. Oh, I love EverQuest. So it's a fond memory that I don't really want to go back to. but I watch it every now and then on Twitch. There's a guy that plays EverQuest, and occasionally I'll kind of tune in. It's a little frightening how well I remember at a glance where he is exactly something that I did 15 years ago.
Nice. But
some places in WoW I can do the same. I don't really raid very much. I raid a little bit in Wrath. I raided with iTunes right now. And we're doing at level Wrath of the Lich King. And this Saturday, we're supposed to kill the Lich King again, because I missed last week because of the gnome run. And so hopefully this weekend, I'll get my Bane of the Fallen King or Kingslayer, whatever it is, again. That'll be nice. And we're going to go back and hit Algalon because I was out sick that week as well. So I'll get my Herald of the Fallen Titan.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Are you all properly geared for that? I think it has some pretty staunch requirements.
They're really super strict, and they told us to save our gear, and I think I did, but I'm not for sure. And if I didn't do it, then I'm screwed. But they're really, really strict on what enchants we're allowed to use, what gems. It's just very... they're doing the best that they can to do it at level, even with all the changes that have been made over the years. And it's fun that way because I go through and I do transmog all the time. So I go through and I one-shot all these things. And so you completely miss any mechanics that are going on. And there's not any challenge to it or anything like that. And that's fine. But it's raiding that is still progression raiding because it is hard. You still have to learn the mechanics and what the bosses are trying to do. But it's not as hard as current raiding is, where you could be beating your head 40 times on something. We might be beating our head 10 times or 15 times on a boss. And you don't have to do so much grinding, as you do in modern raiding, in current raiding. And I like that. So, I do a lot of some pet battling, but just a ton of transmog, really.
There's nothing wrong with transmog.
Well, these days,
transmog is actually very important. We've discussed that several times on this show on how important transmog actually is. You get a 10% DPS increase by looking good in your transmog. It's a fact.
I got a pair of gladiator boots, gold gladiator boots, about an hour ago.
Nice.
For mail, actually for my class, too.
Wait, so you're saying that you actually have a 10% increase right now, Daryl?
Oh, always. Always.
Man, I'd hate it if you missed transmog 1 week.
Yeah, exactly. it wouldn't be pretty.
Nice.
I posted a bunch of my most recent transmogs up on Twitter yesterday. Not all of them, because some of them were kind of bad, but some of them that I was kind of proud of.
No, yeah, I actually did see those. A lot of those look really good.
I'm going to have to go check those out. I've been kind of, like, post and go. I haven't spent a whole lot of time looking through stuff, but I want to see that.
The purple, the night elf with the blindfold and the white ponytails and the purple skin tight suit, that's my rogue that's doing the iTunes, the at level rating. And I really like that outfit. The Death Priestess of Alun, I think, turned out really super well. And the Warlock in the red dress, that was for Darkmoon Herald. They were doing Project Silvermoon for Lordaeron Undercity as the theme. And I had a whole lot of trouble until I found that dress. And it's kind of soiled on the bottom. Like you've been walking through dirt and mud and, and you know, who knows what. And it just kind of, like, clicked for me, this whole story about this normal girl going to, like, a county fair with her possible boyfriend and having, like, a really nice day eating cotton candy and riding rides and flirting in her sexy little dress with off the shoulders and her stomach bared. And, you know, and then they had some funnel cakes and turned into monsters.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's some next level transmog. I don't think I've quite gone that deep yet. Maybe once I get my internet up and going,
they get
that kind of immersion. I like that.
Well, I think if you just look at it, you don't see it. But when I saw the dress and I saw the way that the hem was just kind of stained that way, just the whole story just suddenly hit me like a novel falling on my head. And so then the rest of it was easy after that. So the transmog is really good because if you're having a tough time in game, you don't really like a character right now, something's just not working for you. If you change their transmog, it usually, if you get the new transmog just right, it just totally revitalizes playing that character. It's kind of amazing.
You know, that's actually a really good idea. There's a couple of tunes that I'm not too fond of, but I want to push them through some of the Argus stuff, and maybe I'll go dress them up and see how that goes.
There you go. All right, Rob, do you have any bonus questions before we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode?
No, sir. I'm ready to get on to the Odin Let's Make S'mores camp out store here.
All right, let's do this first.
This is Sparks from Little Sparks Cosplay, and you're listening to The Training Dummy with Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. The show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Daryl_TTD. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, this is going to be the next installment of our Stay Classy series where we talk all about hunters. So, Miss Alexander, would you like to maybe start from the beginning? I think kind of what we've done with these so far is the warlords leading into Legion, where Dadgar shows up and starts to lose his crap and kind of takes us all down to the Broken Shore, and we gotta kind of do that initial piece. Is there anything special that goes on with hunters from there, or is it kind of like that's? I think it's basically the same for everybody at that point.
It's mostly the same for everybody. You arrive at New Dalaran, and a bird comes out of nowhere and flutters around until you ask it what's going on. Gives you a message and tells you to go over to the Hunter's Reach building, which I had completely forgotten existed. And I looked for like 20 minutes trying to find this building. It's right there, like 5 feet away from Crassus Landing, so I felt like an idiot. But you just go inside, and there's Emerald Shade Warden standing there, and she just starts telling you all about the secret society of hunters that's existed for thousands of years called the Unseen Path that has never existed in Warcraft before, before now in the lore.
Well, it was unseen.
Huh?
It was unseen, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
Well, apparently, if you knew where to look, it was quite well known, but not by the rest of us. But yeah, she gives you this really long history about how the world needs them, and that's what their purpose is that they stay hidden until they're needed, then they come out like Batman or something like that, and do good deeds and save the world, and then retreat back to their secret lodge somewhere, and. Shows you the eagle, which is, I don't know if anybody but a hunter can see it, but it's across from the Flightmaster on the other side hanging out on a wall.
I don't think so.
No, I can't see that.
Well, there's a Tauren standing there, and then there's a freaking giant brown eagle standing over there, just so you know. And the eagle is part of what's called the Eagle Network, which is kind of like the Flight Network, except that it gives additional flight points. So that when you summon, you get more chances, more places that you can go to, which is kind of handy before we had flight, to give more options. And when you go to each of these Eagle Network spots, of course you've got an eagle because that's what you're riding, but the eagle has feathers lying around that act kind of like Goblin Glider points as well. And they last for a minute. So if you get somewhere and then you can jump off and just kind of glide your way around, which is pretty spectacular if you're on a really high mountain and stuff like that. But you get on the eagle and fly off Crassus Landing and instantly teleport to the lodge, which none of you have seen because we're constantly kicking you out of there.
It might have happened once or twice.
Well, I could say though, my hunter's actually, what's he? He's up like 917, 918. So I've done all that on him. I keep considering him as somebody to push up as something I play a little more, but I don't know. I don't know what my hang up is.
Just needs better transmog, that's all.
Yes! There it is. Dang it.
Yep, nice.
You already answered that earlier.
Your transmog just needs to match your pet. You know, that, trust me, it's key. So you get there and Emerald's there before you, and she keeps giving this really long speech and like a tour of this whole place about this and that and the history and how they were founded thousands and thousands of years ago before the catastrophe, before the shattering. A giant bird. They saved a giant bird and it found this place. And there's this long story about the survivor hunter weapon and how it helped found this place that I'll get into later. And eventually she finally stops talking and sends you up to the lodge, which is kind of like a wood lodge, very rustic. There's a lot of mud everywhere. There's weapons all over the walls. There's maps all over the walls. There's stuffed heads all over the walls. There's a bar in the corner.
Sounds like my kind of lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very Canadian.
It does, actually. Nice.
Well, there's this really weird stone altar that's sitting in the back. The building is shaped like a T, and you come in at the top of the T, like right in the middle. And right straight in front of you, at the far end of the bottom of the T, is this big stone sarcophagus-looking thing that's just kind of faintly glowing over there, and that's how you do your artifact. And there's a Tauren standing next to it that tells you what it's for. It tells you a little bit about the history. The history is basically that it's a source of power, this whole area. And this stone is imbued with the force of power, and it's pretty generic. And here's your here's how you do your artifact power. And then you go off to the side, and there's the bar on the one side, and you go to the other, and there's your map, and made out of leather. It's all stitched together. It's got like paints all over it, and you do your quests over there. You've got your vendors standing around and stuff like that. A lot of running around because everybody's like outside or they're inside or they're like onto the left side of the building or right side of the building. Then you go down the hill to the stables and then you go up the hill to the lighthouse. And we've got a portal Dalaran up if you go up some stairs. So it's there's a lot of mud. It's basically it. It's very
But I don't know. I mean, to be honest, it's laid out really well, though. Like, mm-hmm. some of the other ones are just a pain. Like, you, like, there's a couple that you can't, you know, you can't even mount up in, and it's just like you're running around in this massive area. The Hunter one is like pretty, like, straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward. It's just like running back and forth, but it's very straightforward. Like, the Mage Hall is pretty labyrinthine, which is actually very mage-like. So they all do kind of fit the people that are in them. So after you go back and forth and basically you're setting up your order hall, getting your troops built and all that kind of thing, which is pretty much standard for everybody, mm-hmm. I think. She starts giving you the speech about how you should lead us, and then she starts telling you what to do, which I think a lot of the classes get that, but I think we get it a little bit more. She's been running the thing for several thousand years. She's kind of doesn't really know how to let go, I think. So she sends you off to, I don't know, there's lots of people that want to come, and now that we have a famous person, a famous champion in charge, want to come and work with us. And they've decided to come out of the woodwork, so to speak. And what they do when they're not trying to save the world is they do, like, local community things, like they'll kill, like, beasts that are causing an issue, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so she starts sending on a whole bunch of these kind of tedious tasks. Like, you have to go to the Taurens and they're out of supplies, and so you hand them 100 bandages, and then you go back to Emerald Shade Warden, and she sends you off to Bradensburg, where they're having a bunch of invaders that are trying to harass the people with some hellhounds and stuff like that. So you have to go up the hill to a cottage and lay down some traps to catch one of these invaders, like their captain, and shoot him to death, maul him with her tiger, and turn that in and go back to Emerald Shadeborg. And she's got just all kinds of these little menial, like, okay, go over here and save these nice people. Go over there, save these nice people. It's very uninspiring. It's like, we're supposed to be fighting a war against demons, and there's not right.
Fight. Gotcha.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of nice in a way because you get to see more of the zone and more of the people and stuff and what's going on. You spend a lot of your time in High Mountain, some in Stormheim, a little bit in Azuna and a little bit in Valshara, but mostly it's really all about the Tauren. You spend so much time with the Tauren and end up in High Mountain, which that is where you are, so I suppose that makes sense. But Khadgar shows up, and, well, Emeralds is giving you another one of these big speeches of hers, and all of a sudden, like, fireworks are going off all over in the sky, and everybody's shouting and screaming and running around like something horrible's happening. And it turns out that they've had this basically a bat signal for thousands of years, but it's never actually been used, and this is it, because Khadgar needs some help. So you go and you help Khadgar, because some of his mages have gone missing. They sent out scouting parties, and they never came back. So they're asking you to go protect Dalaran, but rather than actually do that, go save these mages. So Emeril knows of a hunter that has a really good tracking dog, and send you to go talk to him, but his dog's old and he can't move anymore. He's just kind of just an old dog, an old mastiff. He's kind of a Gilnean type guy. And so you go in and take the dog for a walk, and because the dog likes playing with bones, you know, the throw the bone and fetch, mm-hmm. kind of a thing. So I send you out to fetch some bones and, you know, play with the dog. And seriously, you're going out to play fetch with a dog, but we're big about the dogs and the pet, so we do. And it turns out that the dogs, the bones that he likes, are actually attached to undead.
Nice.
And you kill a bunch of undead.
Awesome.
Yeah. And you know, he grabs like an arm and like shakes it, and then it just like starts climbing up out of the ground. So that wasn't bad. Very, you know. And so you go back to the guy that owns the dog, and he's like, the dog is, I haven't seen the dog this excited in years. Like, maybe you should have taken him for a walk. And now that he's so excited, he's got his, you know, he's feeling frisky. He's got his bloodhound thing going. And so Khadgar shows up, gives you like a handkerchief of one of the mages or something like that. And you follow this dog like here and there, and they're trying to find these mages. You're down in Suramar now, where you do the initial Falling Star Right? This is the one with Thorissa. That whole path that she takes, you're basically wandering around that area. And you come to sort of one of those little ruined kind of pagoda pavilion like kind of areas. And there's a bunch of fellhounds that are menacing some mages. I never really saw the mages, but that's what Khadgar said was going on, so I'm sure he was correct. And then this portal opens behind you, and there's this big old demon named Hakkar, H-A-K-K-A-R. And he gives this big old speech about how he's been breeding these demon hounds for so long, and he's going to drain all the mages of their magic, and then summon his dogs before you can attack them, and they bounce past you and into the portal, and everybody leaves. And that's pretty much where your class story really starts, because you now spend the rest of your time trying to track down Hakkar and basically kill him and his hounds, because he's been breeding these very special hounds for thousands of years. And what they eat is magic. And so they're planning to attack Dalaran and eat the mages. Not physically, but just like drain them of energy of all their magic.
And, that's not so bad.
Well, they also have developed like magically resistant hide and also physically resistant. And so you have to go and you talk to this warlock that Khadgar knows. And she tells you about these enchantments that you need to go do this thing. And then one of the guys in your order hall, the Raider General of Silvermoon, who's just hanging out there. He has these ideas for the special ore he's heard about and the special kind of wood that he's heard about. And he can make some really cool arrows if you'll just go fetch some. And the ore is extremely rare. It's only found at the bottom of the ocean. And if you've done the Suramar thing where you accidentally get teleported to under the sea with that one guy that does the teleportation.
Oh, if you take too long to click the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where you go. And you collect the ore from the bottom of the ocean, and then you have to go into Darkheart Thicket, and the giant tree boss, I forget his name, you kill him and get a twig or a branch or something like that, bring that back, and they make a bunch of like really cool arrows. And I hate to tell him, dude, we kind of don't need arrows anymore. We're like, we don't use ammo. We haven't used ammo for years, but you be you.
Right.
Yeah. So,
I have a question here. So, where do the artifacts play into this? Because is this all leading up to getting the artifacts?
Oh, no, this is just the class story. The artifacts, I mean, you can do the artifacts at any point. But this is the Order Hall story itself, and it's all kind of woven in a bit.
Okay.
Depending how you do it, in what order you do it. Where the story goes with the class order quest is that the demon is planning to go to Violet Hold and suck all the magic out of all the beings that are being held there. And then he's going to use his supercharged Velhounds to attack the mages and kill everybody in Dalaran. And so Khadgar sends you on this long quest to like get a bunch of Leyworm entrails and other things like that to pretend like you're magical, because we're not, because we're hunters, and lure the, make them think you're a mage basically, and then they will come and attack you, and then you'll kill them. So you basically run around collecting a bunch of stuff, show up at the Violet Hold and kill everything. And that's pretty much the story. You touch a little bit with the warlocks because of the warlock is telling you these things. And one of the pieces that you have to find to give you this aura of magic is from Maleficent Manastorm, who is a different warlock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think she got attacked by a demon in one of the demon worlds that several of the classes go to. I think the priests go there and maybe the warlocks. That little shard of demon world. And she dropped it, it shattered, and then she ran off because I guess she was scared or something. It wasn't real clear, and so you got to go collect the pieces and bring them back. You know, it's just, it's not like the Death Knights where you went and dealt with the paladins and the priests and stuff like that. You only really deal with Khadgar. In a very small way, you deal with these other specific low-level NPCs. But
I did like the whole thing, though, where you're having to go and track down these fellhounds and, you know, like you were saying, try to find their weakness, like, so we can figure out how to counter some of the Legion's army a little bit. I mean, that was, it wasn't a, like, super compelling, but it was kind of neat to see, like, something totally different from the other classes. Like
it was very different.
Here's these guys that are like actually hunting us. They're hunting our mages, and we gotta, you know, we gotta figure out how to counter that.
And it makes sense because the demons are attracted by magical energy. So a mage, that's pretty much, you know, they've been eating magic for, I don't know, however long since they learned the spell to make a mana table with your croissants and biscuits and waffles and stuff like that.
Mage waffle.
Nice.
Anything with carbs or smoked meat, I'm there. So
there you go.
Sure. Daryl, your wife plays a mage. Tell her if she can figure that out. That'll give us a 10% damage buff. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm a hunter. All I know is how to perfectly grill a steak.
That works too.
All right. So that was kind of the framework of the main story. Mm-hmm. Which have you done all three of the artifacts, I'm assuming?
I've done two, and I read up on the third and watched some videos and stuff like that.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about those a little bit? You can decide what order you want to do that in.
Well, the first one I did was the Beastmaster, because that's what I do. And also because it involves Memoron and Ulduar, which are amazing. And when you first get to Dalaran and she's sending you this, telling you stories about the hunters and the Unseen Path, one of the things that she does, Emeril, is send you to talk to these three people that are standing around in various places in Dalaran, one of whom is a dwarf. And, wait, the dwarf is... Dwarf Titanstrike? No, the dwarf is the... Okay. So you go talk to the dwarf, and he tells you about this Vrykul lady. He knows that she knows about this tomb, and it's got this thing, and... It's not Bran. It's like some like cousin of Bran's. And she wants to go in and, you know, loot the tomb for the thing. And then we'll have this thing to defeat the Legion. And it'll be great. And so you go back and talk to her. And then eventually you go talk to him again when you've chosen to do that. And so you and the Vrykul lady fly to Suramar to Shield's Rest. And you fight some Vrykul that are... Or are they ghosts? I think they might be ghosts. They're just kind of sitting outside the tomb because you're right at the entrance. And you go inside and you shoot some more things, and there's these magical balls that are going back and forth, and so you kind of got to dodge them a little bit, but it's really super easy. And these guys are following you through, and you get to the door, and she's got this, like, waving her hands, and the door magically opens, and the lord of the tomb is there, and he's like, "You're not worthy!" And so, of course, you kill him, and you try and take the thing, but... She betrays you. I know, it's pathetic. And she stuns you, and then she makes off with Titanstrike and teleports out or runs out or something like that. It's kind of fuzzy. And then Memoron, the image of Memoron, shows up because he's been tracking this whole thing because he's very interested in Titanstrike because he made it. And he says, "This is very bad. We need to get Titanstrike back. So I should teleport you to where I am." And so he teleports you to his workshop in Ulduar. And he's got this idea that he could rejigger the teleport to send you to where she went to. And but you need to help him do it because he's got things to do with his mechanical engineering. And so, like, something starts on fire, so you got to go and run through the fire and press this button here and then press that there. And that's, like, put the fire out. And then you have this other thing that's starting to explode, so you gotta go over and press these things, and so things don't explode. And then you have to press the big red button. Or do you? Because he's not real sure if you press it, is that good or is that bad?
Yeah. Right.
So you press the big red button, and luckily it works. And then he teleports you on your way to wherever she's at, except that she's gone to Thorim, which is the dude up on top of the mountaintop in his little citadel with the wyvern riders circling around and around and around.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
Storm Peaks?
Storm Peaks.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's up there with his hounds because apparently he's this big hunter and he has these two dogs, well, wolves, that are sort of blue and icy looking. And so you tell him because you beat her there because she went to collect some Vrykul followers of hers so that they could storm the peaks. And get to his throne, like his seat, so that she could charge it up or something like that. And so you beat her there, you tell him about it, and he's all pissed off, and he's like, that's not going to happen on my watch. And then the Radicals start showing up, and so he stomps over there, you're like shooting things, and like more of them keep coming over the edge, and more of them keep coming over the edge, and then all of a sudden you turn around, and she's fooled you because she's behind you at the chair, and she's starting the thing to do the stuff with the Titan Strike. And like he stomps over there, and another fight breaks out, the wolves jump in, and it's mass chaos everywhere. And then you kill her, but the spell was just about ready to work, and so there's this big lightning thing that goes off, and oh no, it got in the wolf because the wolf attacked her at just the wrong time, and now his poor wolf is dying, and he's really, really sad about this. Much sadder than he ever was about his wife, I have to say. And Memron, the image of Memron, points out that you are an amazing hunter with this amazing soul deep binding ability to bind with animals. And he's like, you are. You should bind with my wolf and save my wolf's life. And then he will drain the lightning out of the wolf later. And so you tame his wolf and save the wolf. And that's Hattie. And that's now your second pet, which is really weird until you get used to it. And now I don't know what we're going to do if we don't have two pets in the future, because it's become so natural now. And
it seems to fit Beastmaster pretty well, right? That's like kind of your mm-hmm. shtick, is that you like, you know, you kind of bond with the animals and you have all these animals around you. So having multiple pets seems like it fits pretty good.
Well, it's weird though, because it's not your pet, it's his pet. It's just on loan. And at least that's how it felt. I mean, she's been with me, but I didn't choose her. I saved her because that's what I do, but I don't know. I chose all my pets specifically because, you know, I went along out of my way to find the specific pets, and not just the breed, but like the specific tiger, the specific wolf yeah. that I wanted, the very specific worm that I wanted. I spent like an hour finding the perfect worm, and then I tamed it. So I don't regret it because, you know, I want to help the guy and I don't want to help the wolf, but it feels like I'm babysitting his wolf for him.
Well, there's that there's that quest that you can get that gives you the object that basically makes Hattie take on mm-hmm. the appearance of your other pet. I pretty much did that right away.
Everybody did.
Yeah, I was like, man, no offense, Hattie, but this isn't working. You got to look way cooler than this.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've been helping a friend that just came to Legion, and she's a hunter. And she just got to 110, and she just got Hattie and all that. And she was telling me about how beautiful she is. And I'm like, oh, and by the way, if you ever change your mind and you want to change your appearance, this is how you do it. And I thought no more of it. And she instantly is like, really? How do I do that? I would really love to change her into something else. I thought, did you just say how beautiful she was? All right. So that's the first one. One of the other people you go talk to is Arisa Windrunner, who is the sister of Valeria. Mm-hmm. And she leads the Silver Covenant or Ranger Generals or something important like that. And someone told her that Valeria was being held in Niskara, which is that demon world, that demon realm that a lot of us end up going to for various quests.
Right, right.
I think my priest went there. I think my warlock went there. Not my warlock. Well, maybe the warlock, but maybe it was the demon hunter, but you know, they reuse these areas a lot of times, but it's apparently sort of like a semi-prison area for interrogations, and she was being held there, according to this demon that had been captured and interrogated. They didn't really believe the demon so much, but she really wanted to try just in case it was true, even though it's spelled like a trap, and everyone's certain that this is a trap. And so she gets her people together and says, we're going to do this thing, except I'm going to do this thing with this person, this champion, and you're all staying right here, and you're not going with me. And they'll go, yep, that's what you say. That's what we're going to do, Ranger General. And then one of them, named Orestes, says, and now that we've said that, see you later. And he runs into the portal and beats you to the place. And she's like, Orestes, no! And so you run in after him, and like 10 feet later, there's his mangled body lying on the ground, and he's dying. Because whatever was there did him no good. And she's like, no, you shouldn't have done that. It's like, well, I wanted to help and protect you. You know, remember me or something like that. And he dies. And you keep going and you fight through various demons. They have names, but they're nothing really. And you get to the High Inquisitor Cormaladon and his floating eye things that are zapping you all over the place. And he's willing to add you to his collection. He's going to pry into your mind, and he's prying into Illyria's mind while you're fighting him. And I don't know, she's not able to really help because he's like digging into her mind, and she's like unable to fight it or is busy fighting it. So eventually you kill him, and Illyria isn't there, but her bow is there. And so they decide that she had been here, but she must have escaped or something happened. But we've got the bow, so we better get out of here. And so we teleport out, and you have the bow. And that is Thastara, Legacy of the Winterenders, Valor of the Forest.
So which spec is that for? Is that...
That's for Marksman.
Marksman, yeah. Okay. So
those are the two ranged, and the final one is the melee one, the survival.
Oh, right. Survival moved to melee. I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, that's the new one. Thastara, actually, they gave quite a bit of history to. It was created 7,000 years ago before the Troll War started to give to Talonus Windrunner, the first Ranger General, for basically valor and doing a lot of good job and killing a whole bunch of trolls. And they cut down part of a sacred tree, one of these holy trees that the elves are so big on, and made a bow out of it, and then seeped it into the waters of the Moonwell or the Sunwell. And then over the 7,000 years of having this bow run through his family and never leaving basically the area, it just kind of kept soaking in the powers of the Sunwell and becoming more magical over time, which is kind of cool. And it's just basically been handed down in her family for 7,000 years. And Sylvanas should have had it, but didn't want it and gave it to Illyria. And Illyria basically took it and killed like a whole ton of trolls. And then she decided that the orcs were a problem and went off to fight the orcs with it. Met Tirali and went up to Draenor, fought there. The whole planet was being destroyed. Went through a portal with Tirali and ended up where we've now found them. So I'm not sure at what point she got separated from the bow, but there is a story that I don't know where it came from, but she got separated. They got captured, and I guess it was probably that point. And they escaped. She found the void and all that kind of thing. But I kind of like it, though.
And why we haven't given her bow back now that we've met up with her?
Well, I did offer, or at least I tried, but there was no there was a Tylug option. But you know, I'm sure that
she's over it now.
Yeah, she's got the void. She's happy.
Right.
Yeah. So the third one is Talonclaw, which is totally a high mountain thing, and it's completely made up, and it's got this long back history that's totally all about the High Mountain Tauren, and all of they're trying so hard to make this like a really big deal, because it's someone saved Onora, one of the ancient wild gods, like way back when it was fighting an earth fire elemental, saved its life. Actually, no, I think it might have died, but in its dying breath for trying to save it, it like blessed a rock or a twig or something like that, or his weapon. And that was the original eagle spear. And because Onora was an eagle spirit, it kind of has this, if you look at it right, like it looks like an eagle's beak on the front of it. So I don't know. It just seems weird. And then they have this really long history about, and then this person had it, and then they did this thing, and then this wild god died and blessed it. And then this other, like, descendant did this other thing, and another wild god blessed it. And then they showed it to Malfurion, and Malfurion meditated for a while and said, yeah, this is really powerful, and handed it back to them. And so they, like, carved his name onto it. And they've been carving people's names onto this, or wild gods' names onto this, for thousands of years now. You'd think it'd be a little full, but what do I know? And so it's like a living history of the High Mountain Tauren, and it's been blessed by at least three or four wild gods by now. Whatever. So, I mean, you know, it's people we've never met, we've never heard of,
we're never
going to see again, and literally have a heart. So, you know.
Well, they kind of got it. I mean, these are supposed to be the big bad artifacts, you know, they got to give them a little bit of flavor and history and, you know, something compelling behind them.
I guess. Whole High Mountain, which if you did the High Mountain stuff, and which we all did, he's the big tar that you got to play briefly. He had the talon claw for a while. And the two-headed wolf, Ancient Omen, got killed and blessed the thing when he had it. And so then they gave it to, like, a descendant of Holmes, because that's what you do with it, I guess. And she was walking up and down the mountain with it and hang out with one of these Unseen Path people. And all of a sudden, she kind of held it up in the air for whatever reason. And all of a sudden, it just started really glowing really brightly. And everyone's like really inspired to build a hunter's lodge on the spot because it must be a sacred place. And a bunch of birds started flying around like eagles. And so I decided it was sacred to the eagle on a rock. And that's where the hunter's lodge is. And that's why the hunter's lodge is where it is, because that's you know, it's sacred to the wild gods, I guess. Which you'd think that the druids at least would be allowed in, but guess what you get for not letting us tame you.
Not even once.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. In order to get Talonclaw, you talk to this Tauren, High Mountain Tauren, and she and her brother have this, their father got killed by this cat creature, like a supernatural cat, this giant supernatural cat ghost thing, kind of Hound of the Baskervilles type thing. And a whole lot of people have been killed by this creature, and they've decided they're going to hunt it down and want some help, because that's what the Unseen Path does. And so since you're the champion, they send you out to help these two. And they track it down in Stormheim, and the brother is really into this whole, like, revenging his father, and he gets killed by it. And then the creature, because it's like a cat, like your cats, so it's very prowling, and it's always, like, hiding it from you, and then it'll leap out and slash a claw and do a lot of damage, and it'll go back into stealth. So it leaps out, kills the brother, and the sister is really upset. She's like, no, I should never have brought you my brother. We will carry on, and so we keep going. And then it leaps out and kills her. And we will keep going, because, you know, we've come this far. And then we track it to this cave, because we are tracking, because we're hunters. And it's given us this, like a permanent bleed thing going on. And if we don't kill it, the bleed will kill us, because it's like a supernatural thing. And so we can heal ourselves, we can bandage ourselves, but we just keep bleeding. We can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to the cave, and then this giant cat is like stealthing, and so you gotta flare and you gotta trap it and do all kinds of survival kind of stuff to it, and then eventually kill it. And the eagle spear Talon Law is in a pile of bones at the back of the cave, because the previous owner had it and he died here like a really long time ago. So you've now got it. So everybody's like, well, you deserve it, and so you get to keep it. And that's how you get your artifacts.
Nice. So we've done our artifacts. We've done the Order Hall story. Next is the Class Mount story. Is there much to that story?
No, not really. Actually, that one's pretty basic. If you've done the Jarl's Feast world quest over in Stormheim, it's a lot like that. You get told to go back to your lodge because there's a golden glowing envelope that's showed up for you, so you gotta go read it. It's from Odin, and he's telling you that it's the night of the Fields of Eternal Hunt, where all of these, like, incredible creatures appear in the world for, like, one night only. And so he's throwing a party, and it's... So you show up, and there's just, like, this kind of, like, a whole bunch of Freikles sitting around on logs, and Odin standing over there, like, two-mugging it with, like, beer and stuff like that, and he's telling you this really long story about the Eternal Hunt, the Fields of the Eternal Hunt. And then he says, and we've chosen one of you to go in and hunt these magical creatures, and you'll never guess who.
And it's a full-on, like, camp out, s'mores and beer and all that with Odin. Like, you're nice. In that. Okay, you know that area of the, what's that? I freaking hate that dungeon. Odin's dungeon. The five-man.
Oh, I can't remember what it's called now.
Halls of Hour.
Yeah. It's the wing where you go outside.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's nighttime, gotcha. So you go out there, and it's like everyone's chilling, and like they got this campfire set up, and you're all like
just like giant, yeah.
Yeah, you're just broing it up with
Odin. Nice.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, so they send you off to kick you out to go and slay all these beasts. And they've got little, like, glowy things around it because you're tracking down all these creatures. And there's quite a few of them, actually. There's like, a stag, there's a worm, there's a cat, there's an owl, there's an eagle, there's a wolf. Mm-hmm. And then, finally, the wolf hawk named Hawk and Wolfnir. Seriously.
Serious, man.
Really? Wow.
Hawk and Wolfnir, yes, appears. And he's really kind of huge, like, way bigger than you are. And he's flying around, and so you gotta shoot him and bring him down. And there's this big old fight with him. And the other fights are kind of, you know, depending on your gear, it's like, And he's like a lot more of a fight. So you get in this big old fight with him, and I guess you win, but he just kind of disappears. So you go on back to the campfire, and everybody gets like completely drunk, and you wake up literally, it tells you, a week later in your lodge by the fire with three other people. Two of them are male, and I think the third one might be as well. One of them is a blood elf, so it's okay. And yeah. And then you have a mount.
So which mount do the hunters get?
It's kind of like a wolf that can have wings.
It's like a wolf, hawk, eagle, dog.
It is literally a hawk and wolf near.
Hawk and wolf near.
It's the thing that you fight, basically, though. It looks like a wolf hawk. Like, so this hybrid weird. Like, and how the priest one looks. The priest one kind of looks like that owl wolf thing. It's like
an owl that ran into a building. Yeah,
it's got his face smashed. This is like the hunter version of that. So it's like a hawk and a wolf, like
with a nose.
All right,
got drunk and
nice.
It looks better than it does in the pictures, actually. And
when you summon it, it's cool too.
Your
dude like throws his hands over his mouth and does this big howl into the air.
And everybody's like standing around. There's like more people than are actually ever in your lodge are standing around, like cheering you and waving at you. It's not like the, like some of the other things where, you know, you just hold the thing to the sky and just you over there, like you're flying overhead of everybody and everybody's, you know, really super cheering you on. It's really impressive, actually.
All right. So I know Rob has mentioned that the Dima Hunter story has something specific to Illidan. Is there anything specific with Illidan for the hunter story? Or is that just a demon hunter thing, which I think we're coming to realize?
The demon hunters are really big on Illidan.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you could say a little bit because of the Bradensbrook thing. And, of course, you got Malfurion, so you got a little bit with the druids. But really, it's... Yeah, I couldn't really think of anything. I mean, when he was working with the Bradensbrook people, I mean, they were mages. So the mages have like a little bit with him, but I just couldn't find anything that he's just not a pet type guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have Sylvanas. So there's that. And she had quite a bit of stuff to do in Legion, which I think she's so much better than Illidan.
I don't know, man. After Illidan, like his whole, like, I am my scourge thing and him like,
that was pretty good.
Destroying the Naryu. Like, that was pretty baller. Like, I kind of
have
some respect for him after that.
I do have respect for him, but when Sylvanas is, she's standing alone after Vol'jin's died and they've carried him away, and that's pretty emotional. And then they're at the funeral and she's turns around to the audience and she's, who will help me revenge Vol'jin? That's pretty touching.
Yeah, dude, I'm not bad-mouthing her at all. I still think I prefer her, but, like, I don't know, man. I go back and forth on Illidan. Sometimes he's too hot topic for me, and then sometimes he's, like, pretty awesome, so I don't know.
Well, Illidan's gonna get you killed. She might get you killed, but at least she'll resurrect you, or at least raise you with a Valkyr.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
There you go.
So is there anything when 7.3, when the Argus World patch stuff came out, was there any new hunter content there?
Well, we had Tomb of Sargeras, we had Mistress Zazine. She's a hunter. She's a pretty cool hunter, actually. The Naga Lady with all of her aquatic pets.
Man, she's
got like a shark and a whale and all kinds of stuff. So I imagine we're going to be seeing a lot of Naga in the future. And we've seen Naga as hunters for years now. They've had kind of crab kind of pets and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So just seeing what she can do. I mean, of course, she's kind of special and all that. But still, that was pretty cool. I really like that. And there was there's another one that's a hunter. I can't remember their name. Isaron? Something like that. They sounded kind of hunterish. But no, there hasn't really been a lot of hunter stuff. And of course, you got Alaria. And she is a hunter. But she's kind of...
Yeah, she's kind of ditched.
She's kind of going voidy. Like, yeah. She might. I've been wondering if something's up like there. A void hunter. But she seems to just be going full hunter, which is more magey than hunter. So I don't know. Oh. And she doesn't want her bow back. So
I don't think a lot of the classes seem like, you know, after you got your mount, at least your class mount, I don't think there was a whole lot of class specific story that happened after that for any of them. I can't recall.
Well, a little bit maybe if you're a shadow priest, obviously, because of all the void stuff you do with Lyria, and the paladins, because you've got Terralian hanging around, and, you know, anything to do with the light, which is very paladinish. So there's that. I guess you can say that we had all kinds of new pets and stuff.
Oh, yeah, actually. All right, so I went and tamed one of the little rodent dudes out on Argus, and then almost immediately I totally remembered that you can get mechanical pets. I was talking mm-hmm. to my buddy Justin, and he was like, oh yeah, go to Nomergon, there's this really cool one in there. So I went and got that one, and and yes, also transmog Hattie to look like that. So I've got two of those ones, and they're freaking, he's awesome. I had to name him Brozowski, and now he nice. Follows me around.
Well, that was one of the really neat things we got with Legion is we got gnome hunters. And it seems like we've had them forever, even though it's only been a year. But just having gnome hunters, I've got one now. I've got two, technically. And I'm leveling one now. She's my third hunter that I'm leveling 10. Just because gnome hunters, I mean, that's amazing. And they're really cute. I really like them.
Mechanical pets, are kind of what seals that.
Oh, for sure. You just start off with a mechanical bunny, but I mean, I've been trucking around with a mechanical rooster for years as a battle pet, just to kind of, you know, imagine that this is my rocket chicken. But yeah, that's pretty great having that. We had we didn't have a lot of new lore. We had some story bits, like we had the story of Sylvanas. We had the story of Addy. We had a little bit with Hemet, but Hemet's mostly just shooting things.
Yeah, there is some stuff whole with Holm, quest line in High Mountain that was like everybody could do it, but it felt very kind of hunter centric.
It Hattie really did.
And or not Hattie, I'm sorry, Hemet and what's her name? The new
Addy, the little gnome that's like writing his biography for him.
Oh yeah, I remember
she's cool. I like her.
She is my permanent bodyguard. And I first did that on Hunter, so I assumed it was part of the class quest, because how could it not be? And then I found out later on that no, anybody can do that, but then you come back later, and you pick up Hemet and Addy as followers.
As followers, yep.
Huh. Yeah.
So what was some of your favorite parts about the Hunter story? I know you've kind of mentioned that it wasn't like completely like mind-blowing, but what did you kind of stood out that you really enjoyed about it?
This is going to be hard for people to understand that aren't a hunter, but I travel with Addy. So I have a pet. She has a pet. She has a mount. I have a mount. I have a battle pet. She does not have a battle pet. I also have a bodyguard. He has a mount, and he has a pet. I am literally a small army anywhere I go. Having Rexar, having Addy, it's so amazing.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. That's, I don't know, it's, you know, you're not just traveling with a bodyguard. You're traveling with a crowd of people. And it's just so much fun.
I kind of liked having Rexar at first, too, because he's a little more of a tankier bodyguard. And he'd get out there, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know your pet can tank for you, too. But, man, he got out there and was just straight up like him and Misha were rocking it, you know.
I'm still not forgiving him for that whole, like, cooking the steak thing, though.
Wait, what? Which, I don't recall.
In order to get him as your follower, you have to teach him. You have to show him that you're not as boring as the rest of the path, and that you know how to survive a night in the wild.
Yeah, that was annoying.
And that was so annoying. And the directions were not at all existent anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You had to do it like while it was dark out and like, or like,
yeah, 3 minutes
gathering resources. Yeah.
Kill a pig, run all the way back to the fire, cook the meat, eat the meat, run out, get another tree, get another pig. Come back, because you couldn't do it all at the same time because they would disappear from your inventory.
Yeah.
Cook again, eat again, to show him that you could survive overnight. It's like, who eats two steaks like in the...
I would.
Oh, I hated that dude.
I would eat two steaks in the wilderness. I would do it.
Yeah, I would sleep me too. After eating the first steak, but yeah. I love Addie. She's just so cheerful all the time.
Yeah, she is.
That was pretty good. And the Eagle Network was really handy when we couldn't fly, because... it just offered so many more places that I could go. And we got to see Mimiron, hang out with Mimiron. That's always amazing. Because, you know, most of, I think, hunters are engineers. And who doesn't love Mimiron?
You know what was weird to me? The alternate skin appearances. Like, you could just go and buy them, right? You didn't even have to do
yes.
anything.
Yes!
It was like, here, but
the... I get so mad about that.
The Beastmaster one is kind of amazing, though. It is straight up. It looks like this tinker engineered, like, Lego looking bow. It's really cool looking.
It's so weird looking. I didn't like much of those appearances. But, I mean, the...
Hey, that's what Transmog is for.
The Marksman one is so weird, like space kind of like sci-fi novel from the 1930s. Gun on a cover of a pulp novel or something. It was really weird looking. But then you can transmog it into like a crossbow that's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I so want that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there, you know, if you don't like one, there's got to be another appearance somewhere that you really like. And you know, and then of course we can transmog Caddy as well. So it's just, that was pretty amazing having the Essence Whopper. Yeah.
I'm glad they did that. I saw, what was it initially, man? People are using that, oh crap, I can't remember his name. Is the big dinosaur from Siege of Orgrimmar?
Thog? Thok?
Thok, yeah. Yeah, because we were like, what does the Thok say? And it was super annoying. But, like, there was some sort of dumb thing that was going on with, like, the audio. And, like, when that thing would come walking anywhere near you, it was like your whole screen shook. And, like,
the Corehound does that, too.
I think, yeah, there was a couple of pets that did that, and it was just so annoying, and I think they fixed that, because I can't say that I've heard that in a while.
There was something that happened, and I don't know how or why, but I went to Orgrimmar, it was in Orgrimmar, and it was in Stormwind as well, because they did it right where everyone could see it, and someone had made their pets, like, Godzilla-sized.
Oh, yeah.
And had them battling right in the middle of, like, the auction house district. It was pretty amazing. I don't know how they did it, but I wish that we could do that more, because I cannot. I have screenshots. They were huge.
Not sure.
And it was just like two people that had these massive, massive pets out. You know, I've got like a spider versus a dinosaur or something like that, or like Thok. And, you know, try and get like a screenshot of these two massive. Massive creatures, like, you know, I'm like ankle size to them. They're huge. I cannot emphasize just how massive they were. So I don't know what that was. I've never seen it since, but for 2 days, it was really amazing.
What do you think they could have done better for the Hunter story?
When I did the Paladin story, everybody in the Paladin hall, and when you first become the Paladin leader, the hall is full of paladins with names that you recognize, because they're like really big names.
Mm-hmm.
Mage hall, full of really big names. Warlock hall, not so much, because they're warlocks. But, you know, rogues. I mean, seriously, the names in the rogue hall, wow. And you get to the hunter hall, and you're talking to a lady you've never heard of, and we're probably never going to hear from again once we leave this expansion. And your hoarder hall is full of people that I don't know who these people are. And some of them are really interesting, like the goth hunter, the one that's over by the bar. You remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's funny. I don't know what he's doing there, but he says he's a death hunter. He's very gothy, and he's fallen in love with one of Sylvanas' dark huntresses. and wants you to like take her a note, and he's got these black roses that he'll give you. And he eventually turns into a vendor. It's just, it's totally weird because this guy is so goth. But I have no idea who he is. I don't know who any of these people are. The people that you actually know, like Rexar and Hemet, you get them as followers. You see them like very briefly when you're convincing them to join you. And then you ship them away on missions through your table, your map, or whatever.
Right.
And basically never see them again. You never interact with them again unless they're bodyguard, but you're still not really interacting with them because they, you know, they just yell their battle shout and that's it. And the order story, it's hunterish, but what I really would have liked was to actually do something with hunters, like go talk and do something with Sylvanas, that's huntery because she's a hunter.
Right.
Go talk with Nathanos because he's a hunter, like a badass hunter from like day one.
Yeah, when you mentioned like wanting to interact with more hunters, so I immediately thought of Sylvanas, and you know, there's a couple.
Even like taking Rexar out and doing something with Rexar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even in Warlords, wasn't there a chain of stuff that you did with Rexar?
I don't remember.
What was it, Gorgon? You showed up and like he was sad because like one of these pets died, and you went and helped him.
It could be.
It could be.
But he's had Misha forever, though, so yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, I see what you mean. Like, I mean, there's a couple of big name hunters, and like, I don't know. Like, Sylvanas is a pretty big NPC. You know, Illyria is a pretty big NPC. But I feel like some of the class stories were just like, they left me like yelling at my screen because it was just like so amazing. You know,
like so not exciting.
And I kind of with the dog Death Knight one, I was just kind of like funny, freaking out.
But there was a lot of little disappointments because we started off the expansion. Yes, we had gnomes. That was great. But they took away our speed and mobility and gave them to demon hunters. And they took away other of our abilities and we didn't get them back. And then they gave us volley, except that it's the wrong volley. It's not volley.
Yeah.
And so it was almost like an insult because they gave us the stuff, but I never felt like they understood that my class fantasy of a hunter at all. And I don't know if you guys know Solar Flare, that used to be on Convert to Raid.
Oh,
he now works at Blizzard. He used to do soloing stuff, like the Mion person that soloed Gul'dan, 10-man, last week. He did that all the time. That was like what he did for fun. He's an amazing guy, and he's my raid leader. And the thing that he's wanted for years and years and years is a Robin Hood costume. It's like a tier set.
And, so that would be kind of cool.
Yeah. And you know what? Who's getting it? The Rogue.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
And Robin Hood is kind of my hunter class fantasy. Not living out in like the mud in like a really rustic shack. Like the elves live in a really nice looking wooden pagoda kind of structure. That would have been nice and very huntery. Lots of people live in something that has hunter things. The trolls live in some pretty nice looking tents. Instead we got what we got. And for some people, this is the definition of a hunter. And it's not my definition of a hunter. And, you know, we're stuck with it. And that was why I didn't like the Horde Garrison, because I was basically living in a snow-covered mud pit, and here I am again. But I wanted more, because we spent so much time with the Tauren of High Mountain, which I really never liked. And so I wanted to see more, like, the Naga hunters, like Mistress Azin. That would have been interesting. I would have liked to see some more gnomes. In the Order Hall, we have a Murloc hunter, of all things, dueling it out with a Ramka Hen hunter. Over in the sparring pit, they have no dialogue. They don't do anything. You never interact with them. They're just out there training together forever. And that would have been amazing to like, so you're a Murloc and you want to join. Tell me about your life. Hey, Ramka Hen dude, come on over here. Tell me about your life. Why do you want to be a hunter? Here, let me show you how to handle a bow and make some arrows. You know, it would have been really interesting to see some new kinds of hunters, and just having them there makes you wonder, like, Murloc hunters, are we Murloc hunters? Maybe Ramka Hen, hunters, are we really going to have this? Because I don't see anything like that in any of the other order halls I've been on. So there was just so much weird, so many weird choices that they made that I wish that they hadn't or had made like optional in some way. But you can't really do that. I understand that. It's just so weird, like the choices that they made. But that's just how I view hunters. So, but yeah. So
I think all in all, like, you know, they tried to touch on the fantasy and, you know, being able to redesign survival as a melee spec. You know, that's had some mixed reviews. But I you could see a lot of work went into it.
Oh, a lot of work. So, that's all mechanics. That's not the fantasy, because my fantasy is Robin Hood, and I didn't get that.
Yeah. You can't argue with that, though. I think, like, it's hard to please everybody's fantasy, but I could definitely see, you know, especially, like you mentioned, that other people have kind of publicly leaned that way as well, wanting a little more of that kind of, you know, the out in Sherwood Forest kind of savior hunter style, you know.
And I've also heard a lot of hunters that love everything about the lodge and the experience. And I am really happy for them because I felt we'd lost a lot of things this expansion that we may never get back.
Uh-huh.
And it really hurt my enjoyment of being a hunter because those were some of the core things, not mechanics, but just the ability to move freely and quickly, just running fast. It was such a small thing, but it meant everything.
Right.
And then you have demon hunters, both running fast and double jumping and gliding right all over the place. And you can't tell me that that doesn't make me burn, because it does.
I guess it's time to reroll for you, huh?
I did. I've been playing a paladin. I have one of everything and two of some things.
I respect
that. I'm on
my
16th 110.
Wow. I think I stopped at 14. What was it? 14? 15? I don't even know what I'm at right now.
Four.
But yeah. Like... It's
I only
silly.
Know because I had
they're making me some crazy amount of gold right now, though. Those mission tables on that many alts is just like paying for my sub. Like,
not just that, but you get one of those missions out of the world that's like 700 gold. You do that 14 times.
Yep, it's easy mode, and the bonus right now on the mission table gold, if you have your dudes up to 950, is it's like 17. 1,750 gold is the bonus on it. So you get whatever you get, like, you know, 700, 1,000, whatever it is, and then you get another 1,750 on top of that.
Yep. I love that. I'm out of resources, but I love it.
Yeah. Resources on alt is probably my biggest gripe. But.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, was there anything else in terms of hunter stuff that you wanted to hit, or do you think that kind of nailed it?
I think the Sylvanas stuff was really interesting, even if it wasn't like very focused on hunters, just because we had to deal with Nathanos, who, you know, he was first in East Plaguelands, and he was like such an amazing quest giver, if you remember back in the really old days. And he gave some really interesting quests, and they made him a trainer. But he's just so cool. And so seeing him and interacting with him for quite a lot, that was a lot of fun. Even though it wasn't very huntry. And then we have like the Vrykul and stuff like that. And I think they may be a playable race because they just seem so like ready for it. I don't know. We'll see. That's one of my BlizzCon predictions, though. And I think that's pretty much it. It's still a good class, and I'm back to playing it like recently. And it's still fun. Enough times passed that I forgot a lot of how it used to be, and so I'm now better able to enjoy it for what it is.
Well, and like you said, like, you know, joking aside, you know, throw on a transmog or set something aside for a little while. When you come back to it, it can feel fresh and new and fun again. Mm-hmm. And you don't get caught up on some of the stuff that maybe was frustrating, you know, a year ago or whatever.
Yeah, and I've got so much AP built up that you know, most things I can kill pretty easily, or I can just join a group and there's always a group. It's so amazing. It's a really good time to be playing WoW right now.
Agreed. Well, Daryl, do you have anything else?
No, I don't think so. So I guess it's time to start.
There was one other.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I forgot to mention, I thought this was kind of neat. There's not a lot of groups in the Order Hall like that have come together under your banner. There was like four of them. You've got the Blood Elf people. You've got the High Elf group. But then you've got the Gilneas people. But then you've got this one guy that's hanging out. And he's the Watcher from Darkshire. You know, the ones in Duskwood that when Stitches is coming up the road, that gets stomped on all the time. I really like those people. And we've got one of them in my hall. And he's got like a little history and stuff like that. It's not like, you know, a real history. He's just like got one that's been written for him for a Legion. But I really like having him there. And so that was kind of neat. I really like that.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, the whole Stitches thing in Duskwood, Darkshire, Duskwood is so iconic. And having like a little piece of that just, I don't know, just a little cool thing. And of course, I've got Solvanus's Dark Handmaidens like walking all over the place. That's pretty neat too. I would love to play one of those. Or at least transmog like one.
There you go. Transmog. See, it all comes back to transmog.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's start winding this down here.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Anyway, hey, Rob, what do you have for shoutouts?
Definitely Alisander for coming on and giving us the rundown of the Hunter class stuff. Very, very cool. Really appreciate it. Raid team, of course. I feel like we're kind of just stalling until Antorus / Argus raid comes out. But
until BlizzCon comes out, you mean?
Seriously, till BlizzCon. Yeah, and in the meantime, Daryl and I are working on whatever the next iteration of the show is going to be. So shout out to Daryl for helping keep me hyped in this season where I'm like, I just moved. We got a new house. My work is moving. All the stuff's going on. So Daryl's like the wind beneath my wings. So nice. Daryl, what do you got?
Yeah, definitely the raid team. I know we've got a few options for this week. So there's some that want to do heroic. There's some that want to do Black Temple. And there's others that just want to stick with normal and just breeze through it. So, but a big shout out to all of us, to all the guys there and gals and the raid team. And we'll get it figured out. But we all come together on Friday and still get something done and have a good time while we're doing it. Alessandra, like to thank you for coming on the show this evening and discussing the Hunter story with me. I think my highest Hunter I had, it was a level 55, which I deleted probably 6 or 7 years ago. So anyway, I haven't played Hunter at all in a very long time, but it's still good to hear all the stories. And that's why I'm really enjoying these class lores, episodes that we're doing for Legion, because I'm learning about all the classes that I don't play and their stories. So I want to thank you very much again for coming on and discussing that with us and filling me in the story.
I'm enjoying them too, actually. Both playing through them and also listening to you guys talk to people about them. It's just very nice. I'm really enjoying the series.
Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Do you have any shout outs this evening?
Shout out to my raid team, obviously. Shout out to Dravi for the gnome run. I think that's a very cool mm-hmm. thing that she does every year.
Oh, yeah. We had her on last year to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. And to Blizzard, because putting in the race gateways and all the cheering gnomes around the racetrack, that was actually pretty neat.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I didn't expect it, but it kind of really was. And I think that they turned off some of the hostile critters along the way. Because there was a lot less than I remember in previous years. I mean, there were some down at Stranglethorn, but not very many. I think that'll pretty much do it. Shout out to BlizzCon, I guess.
Yes.
Well, before we wrap this up, is there where could people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
I'm on Twitter as Alisander. My Twitter handle is DAISEMIIN. Which no one can pronounce, and neither can I. And that's the main way. I set up a website a while back because I was going to take some of the writing that I do and the questions and the tinfoil hats. I just kind of throw them up there so that I could consider them a little bit more in depth and store them a little bit. And I was going to be called From Alexander because that's how I started them all. And it's kind of on the back burner, but it's kind of still out there. So if you look for that, you could maybe find it. And maybe I'll do something again with it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Or you can email to the Hunting Party Podcast, huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com. That'll probably reach me.
All right.
All right. I guess that wraps up episode 176 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, and thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time.
It's advice you can trust from people you shouldn't.